Message today is called Spiritual Blessings, and what I want to do before we actually get into what we call spiritual blessings is define what our covenant is, because it coincides with the covenant, right? And to be able to do that, we're going to be reading out of Ephesians, right in the very beginning part of Ephesians, and I have a lot of Old Testament, some New Testament scriptures. You can see that sheet's kind of full, so we're going to go through this. Most of it's just to give reference to things. Points that I want to be able to make here today in terms of comparing the old covenant with the new covenant in terms of our blessings. And then next week, I want to get into the actual spiritual blessings that are mentioned in that Ephesians chapter 1. So let me just begin with prayer. Father, I just thank you for your word. Your word is very, very important to us, and your word connects us with you in ways that, you know, other books wouldn't. It's in the inspired word of God, and you know, I feel like it's words that you want us to be able to hear and to digest and meditate on. So, Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us in all that's here, and that what we hear is grounded within your will. Teach us. Open our hearts to hear what it is you want us to know. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to begin with Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. And I'll probably end up going through 14, not today, but when we do the blessings and stuff, just so you know that we're going to be going through a unit on spiritual blessings about, you know, through this chapter here, right? So Ephesians verse 1 through 10 says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So we're looking at this part of Scripture, and it's kind of nice to hear those words. That there's an awful lot in all of that to try to digest in just one sitting. One thing that I found is, like, you know, somebody said you could read the Bible through in like 44 hours, you know, if you're an average reader or something like that. So it's like a whole week, you know, just sitting there for 8 hours a day, you know, basically in a week's time you could read it. If I couldn't do that, I don't read that fast, right? But I can't digest all of that, right? It's just too much for me to take in and to read that. So I have to read it in little bits and pieces and stuff. And that's what we're going to do, is we're going to break off, because basically we're going to just kind of concentrate just on verse 3. And that's what today is basically going to be looking at. So in Ephesians 3, I brought this up, and looking at the NIV version, it says this: Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, how many spiritual blessings? Every. No, not me, Lord. You haven't done that to me. Does it say that it's, okay, Mike, you've gotten this much, and Mike, you don't get this one? Doesn't say that. He has blessed us as believers with every spiritual blessing. Okay, and it's, we have to remember that. So what I did was, some people have different versions of the book, so I've got the New King James in there, and I have the English Standard Version. Just read this. Basically the same. Sometimes the wording is rearranged. And just so you know, don't be afraid to use other versions, because it may have the words, you know, kind of put differently, but the meaning is the same. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And the ESV says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. All right? Regardless of the version, and I'm not talking about non-Christian versions, but you know the standard Christian versions we've got, use those and sometimes look at them and to draw from them. And you realize that they're basically saying the same thing. That there are every spiritual blessings or all spiritual blessings, you know, and it has to do with Christ, it has to do with heavenly places, and it has to be within, you know, the Father. So there's lots in there that ties all of this together. So what I want to do is take the Old Testament covenant blessings and compare them to the New Testament covenant blessings. Right? So there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So there's a reason why I'm doing this, and I'll get to that reason because I have a question on the screen that I want to present to you after going through a little bit of this. So I'm going to start with the Old Testament covenant blessings and see what they are. If we start here, and when I say Old Testament, we're talking about the Mosaic ones, the ones Moses, that's where that Mosaic comes from. And Leviticus 25:18 through 19 says, follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. So, out of that, if we follow God's plans, what's the blessing? Right, shall have an abundance of food, right? And we shall be able to eat and not be short of food. What else? What's that? It doesn't say that. What? Well, I'm looking right here. No, and it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. What is the Old Testament blessings? Right, we'll be kept safe. That basically means outside enemies, you know, neighboring countries will not attack you and stuff. What else does it say in there? I think that's it. You live safely in the land and you'll have fruit and be able to do that. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 through 5. If you follow my decrees, are you getting a pattern here? Right? What's the requirement that you have to do first?
You've got to do it.
Follow the law. Right? That's what we got to do. Follow what God is telling you to do. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, what's the blessing? I will send you rain in a season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of their field will fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. What is the blessing? Yep, God will provide rain for your crops to grow, and then you'll have all the food you need to have without want. Oh, okay. Pretty good. Let's look on some more. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Now this is God talking to King Solomon as he was getting ready to lead the Israelites. So what is the blessing? Long life, right. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. Be careful to obey all these regulations I am giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God. What is the blessing here in the Old Testament?
Everything goes well with.
Yeah, it goes well with your family, right? That's the whole idea. It's like we like to promote the stuff, and it's like, well, it makes sense, right? If we follow God's laws, and you always get this, if you follow my regulations, if you obey my commands, and, you know, and we're getting all of these blessings that come from, it's very clear that if the Israelites followed what God had ordained them to do, then they would never suffer, would they? They had problems following what God told them to do. Right? They started doing the false worshiping of these false idols. They started to look more towards the world versus looking towards God. You know, the sacrifices they did just did it out of repetition. They didn't do it out of the love of God. and it just kind of pulled them away and everything. But, you know, we can look in some more. Let's go back to Ezekiel. Like, these are all a lot of different scripture or chapters or books in the Old Testament looking at that Mosaic covenant, the Old Testament, and some of the blessings that come with that. In Ezekiel 36, 8 through 11, says this, "But you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. I am concerned for you and will look on you with favor. You will be plowed and sown, and I will multiply the numbers of your people upon you, even the whole house of Israel. The towns will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. I will increase the number of men and animals upon you. They will be fruitful and become numerous. I will settle people on you as in the past and will make you prosper more than before. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So, what is the blessing in this Old Testament? Right, there would be what?
I said prosperity.
Yeah, prosperity, right? And what other items are listed in there within that prosperity aspect? There's a multiplication of what? Of what?
People.
A family, a people, right? So that nation's going to grow. It's going to be bigger. And it'd be more bold, and it actually gets to the part where they're going to be greater than even before, right? And the whole idea is that which has been destroyed, like from destruction, will be rebuilt. And these are the blessings that you're seeing in the Old Testament. Let's see how many more I've got. Another. How about this one here in Exodus chapter 15, 26. And he said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all of His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So, think about this. The Israelites, if they followed correctly, they wouldn't have disease. They wouldn't have sickness. Think about all these blessings that we have and the types of blessings that they are. How many people would like those blessings? Long life. How many people would like to have a bounty of fruit, you know, so that you don't go without? How many people here would like to be prosperous and that their families would grow and grow and be there? All there? Yeah, so am I. Right? Because it all sounds, it's really good and everything. And really, sometimes as Christians, we look to these and we think, well, if I just follow those commands that God has for us, there's blessings that come from that. Well, let me go back to this here. Ephesians 1, 3 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Where's the prosperity in that? Where's the healing in that? Where's the reins in that? Yes, say it again.
Heavenly.
It's in the heavens. That the spiritual blessings we have, in this case, in the New Testament, is in the heavens. Alright, so maybe I'm going to start making a point here. The Mosaic Covenant is a physical covenant, right? And the results are physical blessings. That long life, we can physically live longer. More food, right? More bounty. We can count the number of people in our nation. We can measure prosperity by the wealth that we might have. Those are all physical blessings. But what we talk about in the New Testament are spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings in the New Covenant result in spiritual, or such the New Covenant, which is a spiritual covenant, results in spiritual blessings. So, what would you rather have, without going any farther, and you just don't answer that, but just keep it in your mind. Do you want the physical blessings, Or do you want the spiritual blessings? Think. You know, it's like, I want everything. Yeah. But let's see. Let's see what God has for us. Because God's will, right, what God wants for us is what's really good. And that's what we need to be looking for as well. So, let's go to John 3, 5 through 6 says this. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You see, Jesus is making a distinction between that of the flesh and that of the Spirit. Within this words right here, which is the greater, the flesh or the Spirit? Spirit. These are Jesus' words. And see, the reason I'm bringing this up is because when we start talking about spiritual blessings, we sometimes aren't clear of what spiritual blessings are because we mix them up with the physical blessings. So I'm going to go back to an Old Testament scripture. This is Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. It talks about the future, and it talks about what God is planning for the Israelite nation, right? So as I read this through, I want you to tell me who this scripture is referencing to. Right? That's what I want you to be able to get out of it. So it says this, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. I'm supposed to go another click here. There it goes. This covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So we're looking at this scripture verse here. Who do you think Jeremiah is referencing? Yeah, about Christ. Right, Jesus. And how this stuff there is. That there's going to be a new covenant. And if this is actually referenced also in the book of Hebrews. Now, if you remember what the book of Hebrews is about, it's written because there are Jewish Christians that are thinking about going back to the Judean ways, you know, back to the Mosaic law. And there's a lot of push in the book of Hebrews to get those individuals that know, even though they're going through the persecution, hang on to Christ. Because this is that new covenant that we have, and we don't want to go back to the old covenant. Because what does it say in Hebrews 8, verse 13? He says, by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. Right? That physical covenant. And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. So, do you want to hang on to that which is falling apart and is passing away? Or do you want that which is given now for, as Marcia said, for eternity? So we're looking at it. So Hebrews also, we can go into chapter 9, and it says this in verse 15. For this reason, and I'm going to stop right there. I want to talk about what this reason is. If you read prior to this, a couple paragraphs and stuff, it's talking about Christ going and being that ultimate sacrifice. Christ being the one that laid down his life so that our sins would be forgiven. So what he did, Christ entered the tabernacle, not the one created by man, which is a physical one. He entered that one that was created not by man's hands, but would be considered the spiritual tabernacle. Right? Because, and only he could do that because he was the one that was sinless. Right? And to be able to go over there. So that's where it says, for this reason, and then he becomes our high priest, right? So for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. That those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance now that he has died, and now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Question: could we keep the covenant, the first covenant, the physical one?
No.
Well, we know the Israelites didn't do it, but we could do it. Right? We're more educated, we've got a better degree, we've got a lot more devices in which to help us out, be able to do that. No, we have the same antics that they have. We're people. We can't keep the law. It's impossible for us to be able to do that. Right? But so what God has done is given us a new covenant. And in that new covenant, you know, obviously we're given a new heart and we're given the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do those sort of things. So we get to this point here and we look at this. Now, the next verse I'm going to look at is this one right here. And this kind of caught my attention. We might read this during communion and stuff. It's kind of interesting to be able to see what we've got here in Luke 22, verses 19 through 20. And it's about Jesus in the upper room with the disciples. And I've checked the other verses that we've got, you know, that correspond to this. And they don't all read exactly the same. But what they have, what this one here says, and I want to just bring it up, is that we take the bread and we've got the cup as well. But it says first, he says, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So what God did was that he gave us his body to be that sacrifice, the one that was just paid. Let me just see what I got here. He gave it to us as if it was and being paid. So we need to remember, as we mentioned already in communion, what that was all about. And so I don't need to bring that back up again. But what do we do? And we talked about that even today in terms of our, you know, the praises we had, you know, be able to have husbands, you know, and fathers that had passed. This time is basically around this week here in the past, and how they've affected us. And we remember them, right? Something that has died, but we remember their spirit. And what God is saying here, remember this is my body given for you. Then it says, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant. And then he says, in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now remember that the Israelites were told by God that blood is that life-giving thing that we have. You drain the blood out of an individual, they die. And that's what Christ is saying, that this new covenant is in his blood because it's the life of Christ. And that's what the new covenant is new life, right? Out of the old. That the old dies and the new is there for us. So I've got this question here, when we've got the Old Testament and we've got the New Testament, do we mix the physical covenant blessings with the spiritual covenant blessings? Because I think too, it's like even in the times when we talk about you know, the praises that we have, many of the praises we have are physical things that we've given God prays for. Our knee, right? The health of Josh. How many of the praises that we give or the prayer concerns we have are of a spiritual mind? That's why I specifically asked how many people spread the gospel this past week. That's where we should be. But we mix the two. We want that physical blessing, and that becomes a priority, even though we know that the spiritual blessing's there. But our spiritual blessings are where? Do you remember where it is? According to... in the heavenly realm. Right? We're there, but we're not there. We're still in this physical realm over here. And we like the antics and the things of the Old Testament blessings because we can latch on to that. We want no disease. We want to have our bellies filled all the time. But the new blessings are not the same because it's a new covenant. And the blessings are different. But if you're looking for the old blessings in the new covenant, do you wonder why Christians are confused in this world? All right, let's go to this. I'm going to show you how we mix things up. So here is it's in Isaiah, but basically it's a New Testament scripture. But we apply Old Testament blessings to it. All right, so let's read this through. And I'm going to ask you, who is this one about again? So it says this in Isaiah 53:4-7. It says, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth." Who are we talking about in this case again? Jesus, right? This is what he did on the cross. And I'm going to go back a little bit of a verse here. And we know what the new covenant is about, spiritual blessings, right? Not on the physical. So when it comes over here and we look at the very bottom where it says, "And by his wounds we are healed," what part of this scripture does it reference physical healing? He took our infirmities. God took those upon him when he was on that stake. He did. But the blessings that we're going to be seeing in terms of the spiritual blessings are up in heaven, and we're not there yet. Many people will use this part here and use these words for physical healing in their prayer. But it's not about that. It's about a spiritual healing that Christ did for us. That is the new covenant. So here's basically a New Testament scripture, and we're applying Old Testament blessings to it. So let's just do the opposite. Let's take an Old Testament scripture and apply, and try to put some new stuff into it, right? All right, here we go. This one here is in Genesis chapter 12, 2-3. He says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of earth will be blessed through you." Does anybody remember who this is given to? Who? Given to Abraham by God. And it's about Abraham being the father and the founding father, if you want, of the Israelite nation. We can follow all the way through Isaac and Jacob and all the 12 12 sons of Jacob, and how that nation grew. Who is this blessing to? As we said, Abraham. I'm going to just repeat that.
Yeah.
Right? But what we will do in New Testament times is take this and say, well, this is for us too. That we want that physical blessing. We want our nation to be great. Whether you're in Venezuela, or whether you're in some Europe nation, or some African nation, or the United States, or Canada, you know, Christians want their nation to be like this, a great nation. The only reference in here is the very last part, is that through that Israelite nation, which this is a blessing for, that all of the world will be blessed. Do you know why? Because who comes out of that Israelite nation that gives us the new covenant, which is Jesus? And it's that new covenant that is given to all. So, pretty important to be able to be looking at that. So I'm going to go back to this scripture verse here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're going to look at next week what those spiritual blessings are. Right? And start looking. I don't know how far we're going to be able to get. I've got a few of them to go through, and I want to spend some time with those. One last verse, because I want to reference this. This isn't just the words that Paul is speaking, because in 1 Peter, he references these spiritual blessings as well, and where they are. So look at this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. So, where's our blessings kept? In heaven. They cannot rust, they cannot be corroded, they cannot be damaged. They're kept in this place where it's perfect. Now, I want you to be clear. I don't want to have misunderstandings. Can we pray for healing, physical healing? Of course we can. Scripture says do that. If any one of you is sick, you know, gather the brothers, lay your hands on them, even anoint them with oil. Yes, we can pray for that. But my point with this is that we need to have a spiritual mindset of the new covenant, not a physical mindset of the new covenant, because it doesn't work. We have many types of blessings. We have the blessings of healings, and we have the blessings of God giving us decisions, you know, whether we should, you know, go with this particular job or marry this individual. There's a whole bunch of things that God does for us, right? That's part of that shielding of God's power, right? That we do the things that God is, you know, that pleases God, because it's within His commands. So the title that I've got is Spiritual Blessings, Understanding the Covenant. So hopefully we get through the next couple Sundays and start looking at these spiritual blessings and start focusing on those versus just getting the physical blessings. That's all Old Testament. And as the book of Hebrews says, that is gone away because we have a new covenant. Be careful not to mix the two. Because if we do, we will start to say, well, you have to start following this law, this command. Well, what does that sound like? Sounds like a Pharisee, doesn't it? That's because that's the Old Testament. God has written those things on our hearts. We know them. What we have to do is just be obedient enough to listen to God and using His strength, with all that nudging from the Holy Spirit inside of us to be able to move us to do His will. That's what's important. And that should be our focus. Not on Old Testament stuff. Are you ready to begin this sort of thing and looking at spiritual? Because maybe it might challenge you some. Hopefully it will align maybe what God is looking for us to do, even as a church, spiritually, with this community that's around us. And not just try to do things in a physical stance, but do it spiritually. Amen? Lord, I just thank you for today, and I just thank you for the insight that you've given us. I pray that we have time to meditate on your word, go back, look at some of the scripture, and even ask questions to people. Help us to focus correctly on the gospel. Help us to look at this new covenant the way that you want us to. Not the way maybe we used to look at it, but the way we should look at it. The way you intended it to be. I think of the book of Matthew when we go to chapters 5 through 7. You've always heard it said this, you know, an eye for an eye. But I tell you, so much of that. Christ is letting us know the new covenant. Help us to know that fully as well too, Lord. This we pray through your Son Jesus. Amen.